As I was praying, the Holy Spirit reminded me of a vital topic we spoke about a few weeks ago. It prompted me to revisit it with you today. Our faith and obedience to the Lord. Today's Torah chapter is one of my favorite chapters because it describes Jacob's life and calling as a patriarch of the Jewish people. First, I would like to remind us of Jacob's story. Unfortunately, today there is still an opinion that Jacob was a liar and hypocrite who stole the birthright from his naive brother Esau by deception. And only much later in his life, Jacob becomes Israel and is completely transformed from a deceiver into a man of God. But I want to tell you, this is absolutely not a biblical point of view. Jacob was born to be a patriarch and to continue the faith of Abraham and Isaac. That was his calling and the goal of his entire life. Let's read what the Lord says about Jacob even before he was born. Let us open Genesis chapter 25, verse 21. Genesis 25, 21. Isaac prayed to Adonai on behalf of his wife because she was barren. Adonai answered his plea and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. But the children struggled with one another inside her. And she said, "If it's like this, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of Adonai. Adonai said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from your body will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other people, but the older will serve the younger." When her time came to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. Now the first came out reddish. All of him was like a fur coat, and they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding unto Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when he fathered them. What a story. The name Jacob, Jacob, is derived from Akev, which means heel. Literally, Jacob means heel catcher, or he who follows upon the heel of one. Rebecca experienced such a severe pregnancy that she went to pray in order to understand what was happening and what to do next. It was her prayer to the Lord. And when she prayed and asked the Lord why she was suffering so much, she received a clear answer from God. Verse 23, "But the older will serve the younger." First, in the beginning, I would like to immediately make it clear that Jacob did not steal the birthright blessing. It was given to him by God even before his birth. Let us read Romans chapter 9, 10 through 14. What Bible tells about this to us? Romans 9, 10 through 14. "And not only this, but also God gave Rebekah twins, two sons from one act with our father Isaac. Yet before the sons were even born and had not done anything good or bad, so that the God's purpose and choice might stand not because of works, but because of him who calls. It was said to her, 'The older shall serve the younger.' As it is written, 'Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated.'" Rebecca received a word from the Lord that Jacob was the continuer of the blessed line of the chosen people. She was a mother who was able to hear the voice of God and submit to the will of the Lord. She remembered the word from the Lord and conveyed it to her youngest son thereby helping Jacob enter his calling. Rebecca was the one who was able to push Jacob to fight for his calling. And she told Jacob how and when to approach his father, because she knew the promise and the word from the Lord. This first thing. And the second, let's read how the Torah describes Jacob. Genesis chapter 25, verse 27. Genesis 25, 27. While Jacob was a mild man, remaining in tents. So, Jacob was a mild man, in Hebrew, ishtam, which means blameless, perfect, complete, morally innocent, having integrity, the one who is morally pure and gentle. The same word that describes the character of Jacob is used in the Bible to describe Job. Job chapter 1, verse 1, we can read about it. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Now that man was blameless, the same word tam is here, blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. So, Torah describes Jacob as a humble, God-fearing, moral man of integrity, pleasing to the Lord. And now, after we lay the foundation of for our father discussion, I want to talk about a very important topic for today. I want to take a closer look at Esau's life and see why Jacob, and not Esau, becomes the patriarch of the Jewish people. And what was in Jacob that he became the winner and achieved the goal of his whole life, even when it seemed impossible for him? So, we have already discussed that Jacob was not a deceiver and that sin has nothing to do with it. So, let us read about Esau in the Bible, in the Torah. Genesis chapter 25, two verses, verse 27 and verse 28. We can find about Esau. So, verse 27, Genesis 25. When the boys grew up, Esau became a man knowledgeable in hunting and outdoorsman. And verse 28. Now Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for wild game. So the Torah describes Esau as knowledgeable, in Hebrew, experienced in hunting, learner, capable, and also skillful person. So Esau was prominent and promising, successful in early or earthly life. And for this, his father loved him and saw in him the future protector and breadwinner for the family. It would seem that everything has already been decided. And if the Lord wanted Jacob to be the eldest and heir of Isaac, he would be born first. And it looked like Esau didn't have to worry because the birthright could not be changed. This was Esau's approach. But it doesn't work like that with the Lord. The Bible teaches us that we are to inherit a blessing only by faith. Let us read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. This is the key verses for today. Hebrews 6, verse 11 and 12. I believe this is the answer for us. But we long for each of you to show the same eagerness for the certainty of hope to the very end, so you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those inheriting the promises through trust and perseverance. So, here's an important thought here. The condition for our spiritual success is not in our family bloodline, or our talents and abilities, but in our faith, in our perseverance. I believe Esau was self-confident and talented, successful, and convinced that his father loved only him so much. So Esau decided not longer be interested in the spiritual side of his life. He became sluggish in his spiritual life. He became sluggish. We can read the story that shows how Esau related to spiritual blessings and the priesthood in his life. So let us open Genesis 25, verse 33 and verse 34. Very interesting story. Jacob said, "Make a pledge to me now." So he made a pledge to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank, then got up and left. And the most important last part of this verse. So Esau despised his birthright. Despise means neglect, to dishonor, to make despisable, to humiliate. In other words, Esau says, "Why do I need this birthright and with it the priesthood?" Imagine how easily Esau sold and renounced his birthright. He failed the test. He appreciated the blessings of Abraham and Isaac, the spiritual heritage of the Jewish people, as a bowl of soap, as a lentil stew. For Esau, the birthright is something that is invisible, incomprehensible, and as a result, unprofitable. And with the birthright, the priesthood was no interest to Esau. In the days before the priesthood of Levi, birthright means not only inheritance, but most importantly, a priesthood. The firstborn son became the priest of the family, who appeared before God for the whole family. But here's the most important thing to know. According to the laws of the time, the firstborn son was given his father's blessing to extend and preserve the clan. And now, can you imagine what would happen if Esau inherited the birthright? The line of Abraham would be interrupted. Esau was not able to link the faith of Abraham to his children. The Jewish people would have dissolved among other nations and would never have fulfilled their calling. And let us read one more place of scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. It is also about Esau. Very important place. Hebrews 12, 16. "Also, see to it that there is no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his birthright for one meal." Can you imagine? Bible calls Esau an immoral or godless person. Esau sold his birthright. He didn't want it and didn't need it. The word sold in Greek is to give away. He just gave away his birthright. Likewise, a person who loses his spirituality, no matter how successful he is in his life, gives away God's blessing and purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. It is an important place for us. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. "Don't you know that in a stadium the runners all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Every competitor exercises self-control in all respects. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we do it to receive an imperishable one. So I run in this way, not aimlessly. So I box in this way, not beating the air. Rather, I punish my body and bring it into submission so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." The fact that we have come to the Lord does not mean that now everything will be fine and we can relax and go with the flow of life. Our faith motivates you and me to action, to seek the Lord, to serve God. It is essential for us when we preach to others not to be disqualified. Now let's briefly talk about Jacob, a man motivated by purpose and God's calling, and see what lesson we can learn from his life. So, the first lesson. Jacob's life is a life fully occupied with one thing, the desire to receive the birthright's blessing and to be a blessing. Jacob fought for the birthright with Esau in his mother's womb even before he was born. Remember Genesis 25 verse 22, but the children struggled with one another inside her. When Esau was born first, it would seem to Jacob that everything was already decided. Nothing could be changed. Esau won. It is a fact. But Jacob believed, strived, did not come down, and did not give up. He believed that if the Lord made a promise to his mother that he would inherit birthright, then so be it. That is what the Bible calls faith, obedience to the Lord's promise. And this is what persevering faith means. Therefore, today we worship the Lord who calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob became the continuation of the faith of Abraham, the patriarch of our people. And please think about it. Abraham became the first Jew, and Jacob became Israel. Jacob does not see himself without the Lord and his calling. And he was ready to leave everything, his family, and become an outcast and run away with only one staff and father's blessing because of the fear of death from his brother. And all this is just to serve the Lord, to serve God. The Lord God became everything to Jacob because of the fire of the calling burned in his heart. Let us look at another person who had the fire of God's calling in his heart. Let us look in the life of the prophet Jeremiah. Briefly look in his life. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through verse 7. It is a great example for us. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 7. The word of Adonai came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you prophet to the nations. Verse 6, I love this verse. Then I said, alas, Adonai Elohim, look, I don't know how to speak, for I'm still a boy. But Adonai answered me, do not say I'm only a boy, for to everyone I send you, you will go, and all I command you, you will speak. What an interesting example for us. A young man who does not know anything in life yet, but feels the fire of the Lord in his heart. And as usual, the first reaction to the calling is that I'm still young, not yet experienced, I won't be successful. Remember the Moses' arguments when the Lord called him to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Moses said that he would not go because he was too old and could not longer speak. I have a question. Do you think age is a good reason not to do God's will? So Jeremiah said that he was too young, and Moses said he was already too old to do so. But the Lord did not even begin to explain anything to Jeremiah. He told him simply, you will go where I will send you. Likewise, for each of us, the Lord has his own goal and his task for us. We will always have a choice, either to act like Esau, just relax, go with the flow of life and do nothing, to be sluggish, or live lives like Jacob, like Jeremiah, Moses. Say yes to the Lord and ask Him to ignite your heart with His fire and to fill with His Spirit. Let's read an interesting passage from the life of Jeremiah when he was older. It is Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7 and verse 9. It is an interesting story. In this chapter, Jeremiah, he was tired of prophesying from the Lord. He was so tired of it. He was tired of persecution. And verse 7, he's delivering the message to the Lord. He's praying to the Lord. Adonai, you enticed me, so I was enticed. You overpowered me and prevailed. And verse 9. But if I say I won't mention him, the Lord, or speak any more in his name, then it is like fire burning in my heart, shut up in my bones. I weary myself holding it in, but I cannot. What a story. Serving the Lord sometimes costs a lot. It sometimes comes at a price, but it is worth it. Jacob could not live without the Lord and faith in him. And only because of this did the impossible happen. The birthright and the right of the priesthood passed to him, not to his elder brother. And Esau, who did not care about the spiritual side of his life and considered a calling to be something uninteresting and distant, he lost everything. But I have a question. What can replace the Lord and his presence, his love and his calling? Absolutely nothing. John chapter 4, verse 34. Yeshua tells them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to accomplish his work." Food is a source of life and energy for our bodies. So ministering to and serving the Lord is spiritual food. We need to strive for spiritual food, especially when we know that our Father is the Lord God Himself, the Creator of the universe, and we can do His will, be His voice and His hands. So let's summarize today's study. What Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Jeremiah, and other people of God had in common? Only one thing. The fire of the Lord burned in their hearts. God was everything to them, the source of life, and the desire to fulfill His call drove them. Likewise, today is the time to prepare yourself, fix your lamps, to ask the Lord to help you when you know you need help. I would like each of us in this place to glow for the Lord, thirst for His presence more than anything. Of course, not all of us are called to be preachers or rabbis, not all missionaries, but we are all called to be children of God and a light to this world, to love the Lord with all heart. He will help you to do that. Just ask Him. As it is says in the Bible, and let us open Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and verse 16. I would like to close our service with this verse of place of scriptures. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on the lampstand, so it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Thank you so much. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel, and we will return to Eric's home for a final song. Let us pray together. Єврехаха Адонай вейшмереха. Єра Адонай панавелеха віхунеха. Іса Адонай панавелеха веясем леха шалом. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.